What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. All right. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Hope all is going well, whatever you're up to right now. So today, I decided to reach back in the archives and do a little blast from the past and share an encore episode with you from my good friend Jasmine Starr. Now, this is an episode back when the podcast was The Art of Paid Traffic. This is an episode from 2017, and people raved about it. This was actually the second time that Jasmine was on the podcast. And in the episode you're going to hear today, this is all about, well, it's about a lot of different things, but Jasmine shares a Facebook video ads case study, and she walks through how she split tested a 25-minute Facebook Live video ad against a short, professionally done video ad. And she talks all about the results of this split test. In addition, she also gives a lot of great information on how to figure out what content that your audience wants that you can then incorporate into your marketing, into your videos, and so forth. Also, we talk a little bit about how to overcome the intimidation factor when we start thinking about getting on video and so forth, and how to stay focused and productive. And I also have her share some quick and easy video editing apps and resources that she's been implementing into her Facebook video ad strategy. Now, again, this was almost 3 years ago, still extremely relevant, but there's, you know, some newer apps that have come out since then. And I wanted to share this particular episode with you, not only because it's just an amazing episode, even if you've heard it before, definitely listen to it again, because you're going to pick up new things here in the episode. But over the next few weeks here on the show, I'm going to be doing a series all about how to create content that not only resonates with your audience and starts attracting them to your business, but gets them to take action. And I'm going to be talking a lot about how to get more comfortable on video as well. And I'm doing this because this is something that I'm going through in my business. We're really rethinking the type of content that we're creating in my business. And I'm also not super comfortable on video. I'm fine once I get going, but it's so weird. Like, put me on a stage in front of 1,000 people to do a talk. I love it, you know, but grab my smartphone and start doing a video, or even in like an Instagram story video, and I get all, you know, I do it 14 times. I'm not really 14 times, but you know what I mean? And so it's just really weird. And so I thought a lot about this, and I decided to give myself a challenge, and I was like, why not invite all of you to take part in it as well? And so I want to announce a new challenge that I'm starting on February 1st. Okay. And it's called the 60-second video challenge, and it's going to run for the month of February. So every day in February, I think this is a leap year, right? February 29th. So 29 days in February, I'm going to challenge myself and all of you to do a 60-second video. And that could be for Instagram stories. It could be Facebook stories. It could be YouTube, whatever it is. It doesn't matter the format. The important thing here is to get comfortable with doing video. And so for all of you guys who are not super comfortable in front of, you know, doing video, you're going to be way more comfortable by the end of the month. After, if you do 29 consecutive 60-second videos, I'm going to say at least 60 seconds, okay? If you do 60-second videos for a month, you're going to become way more comfortable in front of the camera, in front of, you know, in doing video. And, you know, I'm not going to talk too much right now about, you know, what the videos need to be about or anything like that. I want to leave that up to you. And because I don't know what the videos for me are going to be about at this point, but that's what I'm going to be talking a lot about over the next several weeks here, about content and creating the type of content, like I mentioned, that resonates with your audience and starts attracting them and getting them to take action and getting them to think and really connecting with your target audience through your messaging. Okay. So if you want to take me up on this challenge, if you want to be a part of it, I'm going to be doing it. I want you to post on Instagram stories, tag me at Rick Mulready, or if you do, you know, if you do an Instagram newsfeed, or excuse me, Instagram feed video, just tag me at Rick Mulready and use the hashtag Mulready Video Challenge. Okay, so wherever you put your video, just tag me at Rick Mulready and use the hashtag Mulready Video Challenge. I'm gonna pick a winner at random at the end of February to win an awesome prize. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, I'm doing the challenge myself, and so I wanted to invite all of you. So each day that you post a video, tag me at Rick Mulready and also use the hashtag Mulready Video Challenge. Again, this is the 60-second video challenge. It's going to be a lot of fun, and can't wait to hear from all of you and see the progress and everything. And I'm going to be doing it right along with you. So with that, let's jump into this encore episode, this blast from the past episode with Jasmine Starr. Jasmine Starr, welcome back to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. It feels great to be back.
I have to tell you that you were back on episode 106, rickmulready.com/106. And pretty much that was a Wednesday that it came out. Pretty much by Thursday, people were saying, okay, when are you going to have Jasmine back on the show? So here we are several episodes later. I've got you back on the show and I'm really excited to have you back on. You just spoke at my live workshop event, FBA Live. When we're recording this, it was just about a week or so ago. And you gave a presentation called Pay Attention, Get Attention. And I thought it was so good. I came right up to you afterwards. I was like, got to have you on the podcast to pretty much talk about what you just presented to the group, because it was not only was it super, it was very, very good. It was super relevant in sort of this time of what we're doing with Facebook ads. And so I want to kind of dive into that if that's cool with you.
Yeah, but with that lead in, crap, I better not let anybody down. Oh, I mean,
so much pressure.
On the day, I was like, oh my God, I better start singing and dancing right now.
You better. And it's a quarter of 11 in the morning here on a Friday. So yes, time to get to it. For those people who do not know who you are and have not heard episode 106, let's give people a background of who you are and what you've been up to.
Okay, well, go to 106 to get all the juicy details. But in short, I am a photographer and I am a business strategist. Basically, I help entrepreneurs build a brand, market it on social media, and grow a profitable business online.
I love it. I love it. And just in full transparency here to kind of give people some background, we've gotten to know each other and become good friends over the past, say, year and a half. We're in a mastermind together. I am always, and we were just talking about this before I hit record, I'm always enamored with how, like, what you're up to and your projects and what you have going on and how you approach things. And, it's just from a genuine place that, it's been so much fun to see your success in the online space, because I remember in our first, mastermind event, which was, when was that? February of 2015. Is that right? No, 2016.
Yeah.
February 2016. And, I mean, here we are,
a year and a half later. I'm like holding my arms out right now, like a year and a half later, if you can see this, I love what you're up to. So, kudos to you for everything that you've been doing in the business.
Well, we should probably let listeners know, because you can't build it up and be like, we've come this far.
I didn't want to do that, but I'll let you do it.
Too late, homie, too late. Like, the bus just moved right on past us. Okay, right,
so you share what that was like.
I should really bring everybody in, because I want to be really transparent, because sometimes there's this idea of listening to this podcast, and when guests come on, there's like this lure or this cloak of like, wow, they have their stuff together, or they know what they're talking about. And let's just basically break this down. In February 2016, I joined a mastermind, and I had never even known what a mastermind was up until a month before. And I was like, oh, hey, I think I need that thing. And then there's this crazy thing that happens in these so-called clubs called masterminds, where they're called hot seats. And I was like, what's a hot seat? I actually thought it was going to be a warmed, like, love seat. And
you're like, what's a hot seat? I want one.
Yeah, basically. I was like, where do I buy one? Did you sell them on Amazon? So there's this hot seat, and you have to give a presentation, and it was randomly picked. And the people who start off these hot seats literally had these presentations with, oh, the ROI and the EPL and the CPL and babu bibu beep. And I was like, oh my God, everybody's speaking Japanese and I don't. And I remember sitting there texting my business partner, husband, friends, parents, anybody, random strangers who would respond to text messages being like, SOS, save me, I'm dying. Because I go up for my hot seat and I'm like, what's a webinar? I think I need to have one. So to understand how far the business has come in the past like year and some change has been pretty dang amazing. So yes, we have come two arms extended this far.
If I'm not mistaken, you were like, what's a webinar? And weren't you giving a webinar within like a week?
Oh, hey, Mulready, bus number two. Jasmine, lay down. We're going to bring the second one right on.
I think that was the case. And we're like, wait, when? Wait, when are you giving this?
Lord have mercy. If there's people still listening to the podcast after this hot mess conversation, like, God bless them. We need to send them all a dozen cookies.
This is exactly why they want you on the podcast. The other thing that I noticed with that particular weekend is that you were super, super quiet. But when you did speak, it was like, holy cow, like, this person has a lot to give. And, you and I were talking about this just recently when we were in New York, where, you know, I tend to be quieter too, but you tend to be quiet in these events. But when you speak, it's like, everybody stops what they're doing. They listen to you because it's like, wow, like, this is really, really good stuff. So we've just spent 5 minutes of kudos to you and telling a good story here. But it's testament to how, like, what you've built in a year and a half, you know? So yeah. I think it's amazing. And I love that you do share, that you were willing to share what that experience was like a year and a half for you, because I know that a lot of people can relate to that. So thank you for sharing that stuff.
Well, thank you. And thank you for, I mean, everybody who's listening, and Rick, for giving me the platform to share the journey, because I want to look back in another year and be like, hey, Rick, remember when I acted like I knew what I was talking about when it came to video ads? Let's chat about that again. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready to go, but I'm ready to bring people on the journey with me. It's not like an isolated, hey, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm trying to like have the coolest house on the block. It's really like, how can we build our community together? So thank you for this opportunity.
I love it. So your presentation that you gave at the event was Pay Attention, Get Attention. And you sort of took us through 4 to 5 different things in that presentation. And you started off by saying, not all ads are equal. Not all Facebook ads are equal. What did you mean by that?
Well, you forgot one very important word. It's not all ads are created equal.
Because
I think it's going to be important to understand that on face value, people might say ads are created equal if you have like a really good ad set and you're checking in, you know what you're doing. But it's the creation process. And this goes back to episode 106, is like understanding what people want to see and understanding how you could serve your audience. So that's, for me, I always approach ads from a creation process, because we have to understand that when you know how to create an ad. We want to know what will ultimately attract what your customers want, because there are some ads that get people to like and leave comments, and then they'll even tag their friends, or maybe they'll even share that particular ad with their audience, their friends, family, and tag people in it. And that's like the holy grail of an ad, right? So you are putting out a content of an ad and people are sharing the ad, like, yes, please, please share my advertisement. And then there are some ads where people just scroll on by. And so that's like the thing I wanted to really focus on as I gave the presentation, as we're chatting here with the podcast, is how do we get people to stop and pay attention?
So how do we?
Well, first things first is going to be to leave your intimidation at home. I think it's so easy for us to second guess like how we are going to be perceived by competition, by viewers, by worrying about what negative things people might say. But anytime you put a piece of content out, if it's an advertisement or something organic on your page, you have to understand that people are going to have an opinion about it. But I think that the key is if you create content ads for your customers, and you think of only them and you think of how to serve them, you're going to win. And at the end of the day, I'm less concerned with what my peers or competitors or other naysayers have to say about it. If I know that it translates into leads and sales, then I know I'm doing a good job.
How do we get over that? Because that's a really hard thing. And I love that you're talking about this. This is one of those things where, I mean, I still think about this all the time. And I think we were talking about this at the live event where, like, I can get up in front of a room of, you know, 500 people and be okay with it, or do this podcast to hundreds of thousands of people. But put me in front of like a camera, put me in front of like my iPhone, and that's a whole different story for me personally. Like, how do people get over that?
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So, like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainers, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit. It's a 3-day free, 100% free summit, and it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode.
I can't speak with authority on how all people get over it, but I know that I can say without a doubt for myself. And let's go back to something you had mentioned before. You said you're really quiet in social situations. And I think that when people hear the podcast, they hear somebody who's like loud and Puerto Rican and like, oh, hey, 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 hey. But at the end of the day, I am really quiet and I'm very introverted. And I think that this notion of being in front of a camera really makes me die on the inside because I'm a photographer at heart. Like I love being behind the camera, never in front of it. But here's the thing. And I'm really good at segmenting portions of my mind in my business. And what do I ultimately want? I want a profitable business. What do I ultimately want? I want to provide for my extended family and live a comfortable life. And what do I ultimately want? I want to cheers to the haters as I'm sipping a margarita in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Yes and amen. So whenever I'm getting in front of a camera and I'm like that trepidation, that worry of what are people going to think? I feel awkward. Does my hair look funny? I get over that understanding that this is the vehicle that will drive me to where I want to go. If I don't get in the car, I'm not getting there. Or I can walk there. I could get there. It's just going to take me longer. So I'm like, what's the quickest route to get to where I want to go? And then I push all those like naysayers and doubts out of my mind and say, I'm here to do a job and I have to do it.
I love it. I love it. So once you've sort of gotten better at that, and of course, this is not an overnight thing. Like this is like, it comes with practice. The more you do it, the easier it gets. Now, before you were talking about not all ads are created equal, getting people to stop, like how do we get people to stop and pay attention to our ads? And I love what you said, like understanding what people want to see and understanding your audience. And we did talk a lot about that back in episode 106. How do you go about that, Jasmine, as far as figuring out what people are going to pay attention to? Like, is this a big testing process for you? Do you like just automatically know because you have such an intimate knowledge of who your target audience is? What's that look like for you?
It's going to be a mix and it's ever changing. So every time the algorithm on Facebook is tweaked, it's really important to pay attention what Facebook is favoring. And currently, as the time of this recording, and I think definitely moving forward, Facebook loves video,
yeah.
Period. They love, especially, so they love live video and then secondly, video and then a photo. And then lastly, way down on that totem pole is just like a text only, status update. Yeah. Those just don't really go anywhere when it comes to organic reach. So if I know that Facebook is favoring live video and video, that's where I'm going to spend a lot of my energy. So once I know that, then it's going to come back down to understanding what my audience wants. So for which leads us to the question, how do you know what the audience wants? Well, I pay attention. So every time anybody leaves a comment on my Facebook page or Instagram or Twitter, I am personally responding to those comments. Not because I'm nice or thoughtful, or I have an extended amount of time. For me, I just appreciate when people will take the time to leave their comments and sentiments because it's really market research. This is understanding the needs and the pressure points from entrepreneurs. So on Instagram stories and even on Facebook, I'll update, you know, photos of me in the office with this large whiteboard. I'm like, oh, I have a brainstorming session. And as a result of this flippant update on Instagram stories or on Facebook is people were like, what does that actually look like? How do you brainstorm? What do you do? And I noticed that it just wasn't one or two people. It ended up being like five or six. And I kind of was like, huh, that's interesting. And then a month later, I said, oh, I'm brainstorming again. I have a brainstorming session. Again, I got the same amount of questions. Now, this isn't 50 questions. It's five or six. But five or six people asking the same question is a really good indication on the content that you can create. So I decided to test something which was totally bat trash crazy. We share a very good mutual friend, Amy Porterfield, who's been a guest on your podcast and you've been a guest on hers. Listen to all of them. I decided we were going to be meeting just to like brainstorm a few ideas. And I had my iPhone. I had this crazy idea. I said, what if I record a few elements from today's brainstorming session and I'll make a video and then I'll just test it on Facebook. Now, I know that that seemed just really like off the cuff. And I'll be honest, it was. I was meeting Amy on a Tuesday. I had this idea on Monday. I ran it by her. I said, would you mind if I had my iPhone? I just recorded some behind the scenes. And she's like, sure, no problem. So the day before I go, I start downloading video apps, like video editing apps, like on your phone, testing them. And I was like, this one looks great. Let me just try it out. And so then we went to lunch on Tuesday and I just recorded just clips of us working behind the scenes. I came home on that Tuesday and within an hour, I had posted the video that we had shot that day. And the response was great because in less than 24 hours, it had been viewed more than 12,000 times and had organic reach over 36,000 views. So to me, that was a really great investment on time. And if I wanted, this is a great opportunity for me to test what people want to see more of. Because I put out this video that ended up being 1 minute and 42 seconds. And then I noticed that a lot of people were watching it. So a few days later, I had a Facebook Live on how to create promos for your business using your iPhone. And I turned that Facebook Live into an ad. So understanding what the audience wants to see more of. And then when it's hot, you understand, oh, this is a pressure point. What can I do? Can I create content and then turn that content into an ad as a lead generator? And it worked phenomenally well for us.
So was that for brainstorming session that you videoed? And I have seen that video. Can we put that video on the show notes page?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Awesome. Because I'd love to have people see that because it was so well done, but yet like it looked really good, but you like it's not like this, you know, thousands of dollar production here that we're talking about. You did this on your iPhone. What app were you using, by the way?
I was using VideoLab, and VideoLab is $1.99. I also used a few other, like I also downloaded like Ripple and oh goodness, hang on a second. I think I have a list. I'm actually certain I have a list of the ones that I've used. But VideoLab for me was the one. It was most intuitive. I downloaded Stop Motion, Video Shop, VidLab, and Ripple. And I ended up using Video Shop. Sorry. And it's $1.99 from the App Store.
Oh, you use Video Shop. Okay, cool.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Did you also, was there a VideoLab in there too?
It was VidLab. Oh, I downloaded VidLab. It. Okay. Yes. VidLab, as I downloaded it as well, but I ended up implementing and creating a video with Video Shop.
Got it. Okay, cool. I'll link those up in the show notes for everybody because everybody's always looking for great, you know, video editing apps.
You know you have great abs, Rick. I know you slipped it in there. Don't need to be humble.
Very on purpose. YouTube director app. Have you used
yes.
that?
Yes. I downloaded it. I'm familiar with it. But I think that it's for somebody who has no idea where to start, it's a perfect place because it'll ask you questions. It'll prompt you on what footage you should be getting and, you know, talk about how you started your business here. And then you look at the camera and you say, I started my business in 1994. Yeah. And I think that it walks you through and I think it's a great place. I just knew that I didn't want this to feel as mechanical. I really wanted it to feel like I was on my iPhone. I was with a girlfriend. This is what a business brainstorming session looks like. And then I gave three applicable tips on how people can also create their own brainstorming session as well.
Yeah. So what was the original goal of that? Because you said that you got feedback from that and that feedback is what fed into another Facebook Live that focused on a specific topic. What was the original goal behind that? Was this just a test on your part to see if your audience liked it or what was it?
Yes and yes. So it was definitely intended to it was supposed to be a lead generator. It was also supposed to be testing what people wanted to see. And also for myself on a personal note, every video that I have produced and shared on Facebook has been of professional quality. I hire a video team. We have lighting, we have mics, and it's all really, I don't know, for lack of better words, it's just like pretty. And I was like, I don't know if I want everything to be pretty. I want it to feel real. I would rather people look at this and be like, okay, I feel like I know Jasmine. I feel like I trust Jasmine as a result of what she's sharing instead of, wow, it looks like Jasmine always has it together. I don't want that because I don't. And so I really wanted to create a video and test it. And I shared this during the workshop with your students was my husband and my business partner. We kind of had a serious conversation. He's like, are you okay sharing this type of video on your page? It looks nothing like what you've created before. And I said, I don't know if I'm okay sharing it, but I got to test it. Let me test it. And then I'll answer your question. And then like 19 hours later, 14,000 views later, I'm just like, yeah, I'm definitely okay sharing this. So, it ended up working. But the thing that let's loop it back around to the topic of the conversation, which is to pay attention and get attention. I paid attention to the questions, what does brainstorming sessions look like? And then as a result of me answering that question, I got attention because I answered it in a way that people found helpful.
Yeah. And then you did the Facebook Live after that, right?
Yes.
Did you turn that Facebook Live into an ad? Because I know you do a lot of that as well.
I did.
So talk about, you shared, and I think I don't remember if we talked about it on 106 or not. And I don't think you'd done it yet, but you shared during the presentation where you tested doing a Facebook Live video as an ad and then also doing one of the more professionally done videos as an ad and the kind of comparing the two.
Yes.
Most people think like, well, the higher quality type of video is going to do better. What did you find with that?
Okay, so I actually have some stats that I definitely want to share because it's going to be really important, is that when we, and I believe in letting the market dictate what they want to see more of. And so there was an opportunity for me to create a highly produced 2-minute video on how to create your ideal client profile. And then about a week later, I went on Facebook Live and I talked about the same topic and I presented it in about a 12 to 15 minute format and then did another 12 to 15 minutes Q&A. When I went into split testing the results, I thought easily that the produced video at 2 minutes was going to get more attention and better cost per lead. I was proven so wrong because when we did the split test, it was going to be important for me to understand that the Facebook Live outperformed the produced video like 8 or 9 to 1.
Wow.
And so much so that, you know, when we started, when we turned that Facebook Live into an ad, we were getting cost per lead at like 69 cents. And we started this ads like in December. And since then, we're now August, we've kind of leveled out at $1.75 cost per lead. And it's crazy because we're bringing in about 1,400 leads per month. And I might be spending somewhere in the ballpark of $2,400 a month on that particular lead magnet. But yeah, at the end of the day, I'm earning around $5,100 per month.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Did you, when you did that, did you have any idea that you'd be turning it into an evergreen ad campaign?
Never. Never in a million years. I was like, who's going to sit here and watch 25 minutes of me in my living room babble on about how to create an ideal client profile? I mean, you can see, like, I'll send over just like, so I'm not clip art, but I don't know, like screen grabs, clip art. Wow. Hello, 1989.
Clip.
I'll send some screen grabs to show like how silly it is. It really is just something that was haphazard that I just put out there. But for some reason, the real version of me sharing content outperformed the very polished version. And I think this goes back to this notion of there is beauty in showing up, period, instead of, oh, it has to be perfect or it has to be great or it has to be really curated. Now, there's a time for that. I also explained how we had some really great ads for a higher price point. So I was using this as a lead magnet. Now, when I'm actually selling something specifically, I have a branding and social media marketing course. That's a higher ticket item. It's about $1,000. And what we noticed that when you are positioning your brand to be on the upper echelon of what people would be paying, that a nicer curated ad really does perform really well too.
Yeah. And I do think that depending on what niche you're in, so like maybe like the legal niche or financial services or accounting, you know, something like that, you do want to make sure that you consider, just like what Jasmine's talking about here, guys, who your audience is and the portrayal of your business and your brand that you want to make sure gets across to your target audience. But I love that you tested that, and I love that you had no idea that this was going to be an evergreen campaign after that. But you did create the video ads, if I'm not mistaken, to as a lead generation. Like, all right, I want to use this video to generate leads.
Yes.
Okay. And it worked so well that you're like, all right, cool. Like, let's get this going here. Evergreen. You're getting, you know, roughly about $1.75 cost per lead. What does this campaign look like? What's sort of the, you know, they start off obviously with the video. They opt in for this. Then sort of what happens after that?
Well, it's going to be really important if I can just back up a tiny bit, because when I'm thinking specifically about testing ads, is there's three components to an ad that I have to hit. If I don't hit all three, then I don't necessarily think it's going to be paying off. It's not going to have the ROI that I really want. So if we were to talk about really what makes an ad work, is first and foremost, one, we want to clearly state the topic, because nobody sticks around for the fluff. If you're going to be writing 800 words before you actually get around what the heck you're talking about, nobody will read that. So you want to hit that mark on video within the first 8 to 10 seconds. And if it's like a photo ad, you want to make sure that it's clearly stated either at the beginning or even in a pull quote on the photo itself, what are people getting as a result of that ad? And secondly, you want to provide value, because on Facebook, we've all seen ads that are just the ad, like buy X, invest in my course, or I am here, buy this, or I have a sale. We've seen so much of it that people become immune and they just stop looking. But the minute you provide value to viewers on Facebook by teaching them, by answering questions, by giving clear explanations, and the best part, if you can give action steps within an ad, when people feel like they're actually getting stuff done as a result of simply watching your ad, you have them. Providing value is going to be very important. Now, the best part, the thing that you can, third part of you, what you can do is if you can tell a visual story instead of a commercial, that's where you're actually going to get a lot more reach, because stories, either on photo or video, that's the most compelling content. So if we can weave that into an ad, and I've just learned this through trial and error, and I know that I sound like I'm like a know-it-all, but really we've gotten dirty. We've made a lot of mistakes in the past year, and I'm understanding that storytelling, which goes back to like this 1 minute and 42 second video of how to do a brainstorming session, it, by all intents and purposes, people could say, that's really silly. How much content can you share in 1 minute and 42 seconds? Well, it was a goldmine. I shared three action steps that people could apply and then pointed them to get more information on the following Facebook Live. And then when they went to the Facebook Live, I gave more information, hooked them and built more trust, and then had them opt in to my newsletter. So when you can do all those things, clearly state your topic, provide value, and lastly, tell a visual story, then you're going to have this awesome triumvirate of a powerful ad on Facebook.
I love that. And I know that you do such a very good job of really taking time to do that storyboarding, if you will. It's like to really think through this, like brainstorming session. What is it? Is it simply is it a matter of like somebody sitting down? Because I'm thinking about that. And I'm like, holy cow, like my brain doesn't quite work that way oftentimes. What would you say to that person who is thinking like, well, that's all well and good. I got the three components. Is it just a matter of like just sitting down and thinking through those three things, or is there some other way to come up with that?
Well, I think that the first two are going to be the most tactile, the thing that you can do immediately, and that's going to be to clearly state your topic. So if you are going to be teaching about the benefits of growing your own garden, okay, you need to clearly state, I'm talking about the benefits of growing your own garden. And then secondly, provide value. Providing value if you're growing your own garden, you're educating on organic vegetables would be the how. How do you prepare your soil? How do you plant? When do you plant? What types of plants should be planted next to each other? So things of that nature. And then lastly, when it comes to creating a visual storyline, which is, I think, the thing that people struggle with the most, is for me, it comes down to making a plan, period. It's not intimidating because, for instance, in the video that I created with Amy for how to create a brainstorming session, I mentioned in the script about taking notes and setting deadlines. So if that was part of my script, you should take notes and set deadlines when you have a brainstorming session. I needed to get visual footage of us taking notes and setting deadlines. So we had a pen, a notebook, and a calendar. Then with my iPhone, I just recorded Amy writing some notes. Then I was able to parlay that visually over the audio. So it's like when I also ask, like, another question when I came to providing value is one thing that you have to ask yourself when you brainstorm is, when will your first draft be ready, right? So we talk about brainstorming, we talk about projects, we talk about prioritizing the projects, and then we ask ourselves, when will the first draft be ready? Well, I needed video footage of when will the first draft be ready. And that's really hard to convey visually, but I thought, why don't I just shoot a palm tree against the sky? It was nice and clean. It was wonderful. We were at a coffee shop. So then I showed us sipping coffee, pouring coffee, writing in notebooks, walking on the street, very basic stuff to visually tell a story of what people are hearing in the background. So for those, if I'm not doing a very good job at explaining this, I'll make sure that Rick can embed the video into this blog post, and I'll also be sending accompanying screen grabs.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Now, once you've done that, actually, before I ask that question, I thought of a question earlier when you were talking about when you are answering people's, when people are reaching out to you on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you're actually answering you're actually responding to them yourself. Do you have some sort of system where you're recording their ideas or what they're asking about, or what's that look like?
Well, Rick, I did a Facebook Live on how to create a marketing schedule, and I turned that into an ad too. So we've actually noticed.
Go watch the video, Rick.
No, not at all. I think it's really important to set time aside to really understand your audience. And so I spend 20 minutes every day on Instagram responding to comments and connecting with followers. I spend 20 minutes on Facebook every day responding to comments and connecting with followers. And then I spend another 20 minutes in Facebook groups, understanding where my ideal client is going to be participating. And also I will serve hashtags on Instagram that I think my ideal client is searching for. And so do I keep a running list? No, but I am logging patterns. Yeah. And occasionally when I see something that like it was like a hot button, like somebody asked like a really great or presented a really great topic in a Facebook group and it got a lot of response, that's a cue for me to say like, can I make this my own? Can I put my own spin or can I apply it to my specific industry? Because I noticed that when you follow niche industries, the topics are the same, but the minute that you can apply it to your industry or make it more general with like action steps associated with it, it becomes a great piece of content, which could then be turned into an ad.
I love it. I love it. Every piece of, so you are very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not deliberate, but
I prefer strategic, but I've also been called a jerk and too focused and type A, OCD. Yeah.
All those things. But there's a word I'm completely blanking on. And for everybody listening, they're like, oh, Rick, it's this. I can't.
Intentional?
Intentional. Yes. Thank you. So you're very intentional on everything that you do. Like you don't put up something that like for the heck of it. Is that right?
Right.
When we're talking about like doing this Facebook Live video and the professionally done video, you're like, all right, this is going to be the strategy behind this or the intention behind this is to get people to opt in. I want to grow my email list with this. And then you're testing between those two to see which one worked better. And then you're turning that into an evergreen ad that sells eventually into a product, correct?
Absolutely.
I love it.
And Rick, if you don't mind, I'm going to hop in for like 30 seconds and explain why I wasn't naturally as strategic and intentional. I know there's a lot of people who were born entrepreneurs. I don't necessarily know if I was a born entrepreneur. I do think that I was born pretty scrappy and I'm a hustler. And I realized that when I put my intention behind intention, things really changed my business. When I became strategic, when I became a planner, when I became highly focused at being productive. And the reason this happened is just of what I got into detail in episode 106 was my mom was diagnosed with cancer and she was 50 and I was 25 and she had a life sentence. And I thought to myself, my God, I have such limited time. With the little time I have on this earth, what can I do to maximize everything that I do? And I know that sometimes that my personality, my intentionality can be a bit much, but I know I have looked death in the face and I've realized life is beautiful and life is short and I'm not going to waste time diddle-dallying. When I go in hard and I know what I want to accomplish.
I love it. And I think we should end it on that because that is amazing. And we weren't, you know, like we weren't like planning to like wrap it up very nicely like that, but I think that's a perfect place to stop this. I want to make sure that people can connect with you, but I also want to hear, I know that you just recently launched a brand new offering that I heard about a while ago, super, super excited about it. And I want you to share it with people because I think this is something that everybody can benefit from.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited. But let's bring it back so that it's less about me and more about the audience, right? So speaking of being strategic and intentional, I knew that I wanted to build a list specifically for a future offering. So I started list building for this new product that we launched in May of 2017. And this new, awesome, amazing, I'm really excited. The community has come around it. We called it Social Curator. And the idea is to provide 15 stock photos and 15 caption templates, as well as a marketing magazine every month delivered to your inbox for you to have the ability to post photos on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. These are yours entirely to use for your business to help you have content you can share on a daily basis. So in order for me, before we launched this, before we announced it, I started list building and I created an ad that provided 5 free stock photos that people can share on Instagram. In fact, if you go to jasminestar.com/free stock photos, you can score 5 free stock photos. But I started list building specifically with this in mind. And when we go back to the value, right? So I had to clearly state if we adhere to the 3 principles of creating a powerful ad on Facebook. And that was number 1, to clearly state what you're offering. And there on this ad, which I'll also send to Rick, it says free photos you could share on Instagram, clearly stated. Then I provided value. And I use that value through the copy. I understand that you have a business to run. I know that things can be difficult and you don't have time and you want to use Instagram. I'm here to help you. And then I was able to storytell by using the photo of me taking the photo with my dog, you taking these stock photos. So we list built, and then just in the first 3 days, we gained 1,000 new leads and we were spending 69 cents per lead. And so we were able to build a list of thousands of people who obviously found value in stock photos. And then we led them when we launched in July to Social Curator, which was proven to be a really effective and beautiful strategy.
I love it. Where can people find out more about Social Curator? Because as you know, we've been talking about it for a while. I love this idea. And I love what you guys have put into this and the success of it already. Where can people find out more about that?
They can visit mysocialcurator.com, or you can shoot me an email at info@jasminestar.com, and I'll make sure that you are very well taken care of.
info@jasminestar. I'm just taking some notes here. Got it. And mysocialcurator.com.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. I'll be sure and link those up. Everything that we talked about here today, all the apps and all the links and the video examples and the ad examples and everything over on the show notes page. Jasmine, thank you so much again for coming back onto the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you.
All right. Pretty cool to hear. This discussion happened right around the genesis of Social Curator for Jasmine. Jasmine hadn't even released Social Curator at this point when we recorded this episode back in early 2017. And now she's got thousands and thousands of members in it. I remember the conversation that we'd had in the New York room at our mastermind when she and JD, her husband, brought up this whole idea. And we were all like, yes, this is an amazing idea. So really cool to kind of go back and listen to that. And I hope you got a lot out of this episode here with Jasmine again today. Now, as I mentioned at the very top of the show, I want to invite you to take part in the 60-second video challenge that I'm doing myself. I'm going to do it. And so I want to invite all of you for the month of February, right? So beginning February 1st. So depending on when you're listening to this, it's either coming up this Saturday or, you know, you listen to this after, like, let's just get started right now. Okay. So this is a new challenge. It's called the 60-second video challenge, and it's going to run for the month of February. All I want to do is challenge you to create a 60-second video every day the month of February. All right. So this is all of you who are intimidated by being in front of the video. I don't care if you shoot it on your phone, perfect, like with your, you know, DSLR camera, however you want to do it, or even your webcam. The idea here is to get in front of the camera and record a 60-second video each day in February. All right. You are going to be way more comfortable by the end of the month if you do it each day during the month. And when you do it, I want you to post the video, or at least, okay, if you don't want to post the video, at least tag me on Instagram at Rick Mulready and use the hashtag Mulready Video Challenge. Okay. I want you to get comfortable just like me. I'm going to do this myself starting February 1st, recording 60-second video every day in February. Tag me at Rick Mulready. Use the hashtag also Mulready Video Challenge. I'm going to pick a winner at random at the end of February, and you're going to get an awesome prize and do a giveaway for taking part in the challenge. I'm super excited about it. I think you can tell by my voice. It's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Super appreciate you. Coming up here on the podcast, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way. So until then, thank you so much for listening to the show here. Super appreciate you. And I'll see you right back here for the next episode here at the Art of Online Business Podcast.
Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about 5 simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions. But what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.